I read again about this dimension. It's the personal dimension of Jamashtami. Krishna's appearance in our own life, or his renewed appearance. There is a, when today my assistant came to me, Gokrishna, and I wanted to greet him, and I told him about this. The moon has the special ability to make all the lotus flowers, although they are situated very much away from him. I don't know what's the distance between the moon and planet Earth. That's the distance between the moon and the lotus flowers. But the moon has the ability to make them all blossom when it rises. Where does it rise? In the eastern horizon. Yes, in the eastern horizon. So our scriptures say, as the moon makes lotuses who are situated far away blossom, this child, Sri Krishna, makes the mind of people who have affection for him blossom by appearing in their hearts. I really feel Jamashtami is successful for us, or we have properly celebrated Jamashtami. When we can feel that our affection for Krishna rises, our appreciation for Krishna rises, and then the moon of Krishna, who may be very far away for many people, makes our hearts blossom by appearing there. So Krishna comes to the hearts of the people who are full of affection for him. He speaks about this in the Gita, where he says, it is only bhakti which attracts me. In the Matara Stuti, it's the scripture which Jiva Goswami describes, it says, bhakti brings Krishna. Bhakti conquers Krishna. Bhakti is stronger than Krishna. So the moon, whom Krishna, who's like the moon, maybe very distant for some of us, can come closely into our hearts when our hearts are filled with devotion for him, with bhakti. It brings Krishna. So I hope that in this program, this lecture program, I will do something there, but also in the program which follows, I really hope that you will be able to increase your bhakti for Krishna so that he rises in your heart. In my lecture, I want to speak about Krishna's appearance 5,000 years ago, and then I want to discuss something which is it's a term which is used in psychology. It's called the divided self, you know. Our own division within us, that one side is very much attracted to spiritual life, to Krishna, to devotion, to faith, but another side is still not so enlightened. It is our other side, our side which grew by so many experiences in this world, and which is more directed towards the material world. So I would like to suggest on Jamashtami a way to unify these two sides in us, and I will talk about this a little bit in the later part of the lecture, so that we will all have a practical tool in our hands, hopefully, that makes bhakti rise in our heart, and with bhakti it will make Krishna rise in our heart more. This is a little bit of what I intend to speak about. Let us sing Jai Radha Madhava. Do you have that for later? Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Nana Vaja Jana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vana Chari. Jamuna Tira Vana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Sri Radhe. Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anugrahaya Bhaktanam Manusham Dehamashtita Bhajate Tadrishi Grida Ya Shudva Tato Ne Tatparo Bhavet Nanugraha Bhaktanam Manusham Dehamastita Bhajate Tadrishi Krida Yashrutva Tatparo Bhavet Anugraha Bhaktanam Manusham Dehamastita Bhajate Tadrishi Krida Yashrutva Tatpado Bhave. Ja, bitte.
Shrutva
Yes, Matajis, please. Anugraha.
Anugraha.
To show mercy.
Bhaktanam.
To his devotees.
Manusham.
Human-like.
Human-like.
Deham.
Deham.
A body.
Astitaha.
Assuming.
Bhajate.
He accepts.
Tadrishihi,
such,
grida,
pastimes,
yaha,
about which,
shrutva,
hearing,
tatpada,
dedicated to him,
bhavet,
one becomes.
Translation.
When the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in such pastimes as will attract those who hear about them so that they can become dedicated to him. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains in this connection that when Lord Krishna descends to this world in his original two-handed form, out of kindness, he manifests that form in a way his devotees conditioned in human society can perceive and understand. Thus, here it is stated, Manusham Deham Astita. He assumes a human-like body. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur glorifies the Lord's conjugal pastimes, stating that these romantic affairs have an inconceivable spiritual potency to attract the polluted heart of conditioned souls. It is an undeniable fact that any pure or simple-hearted person who hears narrations of the loving affairs of Krishna will be attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord and gradually becomes his devotee.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Vajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasgadhyanish Harine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sri Govakta Vinda Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sudhidevi Pranamami Hari
No, we had Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Anugrahaya Bhaktanam,
Anugrahaya Bhaktanam,
Manushang Deyamastita,
Manushang Deyamastita,
Bhajate Tadrishi Krida, Yashrutva tatparo bhave
Yashrutva tatparo bhave
Hare Krishna. In this text is a very nice explanation of a reason why Krishna appears. He does so to show mercy to the devotees, and a particular sign of showing mercy to the devotees, or a particular aspect of this showing mercy, is that he attracts them with his amazing pastimes, his amazing form, his amazing qualities, his amazing associates, and so on. If you want to understand, have I gotten the mercy of Krishna? Then you should see if you are attracted to him. That is how you can see that the mercy was given to you. The attraction in your heart for him has increased because he has helped you to feel these bhakti, these feelings of bhakti in your heart. Many times devotees come and ask, how can I know that my activities please Krishna and that Krishna is happy with me. This is one of the many things to look for. Your attraction to Krishna is increasing. Because the moment that happens, the moment your bhakti increases, your worst enemies, that is your, yesterday we heard anger, your material desires which are just giving so much pain to your heart, your illusions about life, all these things, they cannot stay. So Krishna comes in the form of attraction first to him. And it is he who gives us this attraction into his heart, into our heart, so that our enemies, which can entangle us in this material world, are going far away. This is one of the descriptions which Narada Muni gives in the Narada Bhakti Sutras. These are very, very brief statements of power. He says, when bhakti comes into the heart, as a result of Krishna's mercy or the mercy of a devotee, when bhakti comes in the heart, delusions cannot stay. It goes. So, yes, to show special mercy to his devotees in the human form, Krishna has also devotees in non-human forms and in other worldly forms, you know, Gandhavas, Vidyadharas, on other planets in this universe. But to show special mercy to his human devotees in human bodies, he comes in a form where he displays his attractive shakti, his attractive potency, so that he can attract them. At this stage, I was battling back and forth if I should read it. There is a little humorous poem by the poet Yeats. It's a very famous poet. I think those who know of literature will know him. writes with a, he has a little problem about the Indian concept of God. Please hear very carefully, and please also hear my answers. Don't get stuck in the poem. He describes that one day he was walking by a river under trees which were still dropping with the raindrops. You know, the rain was there, but now the trees were shedding the water. He was in good spirits, he said. And as he walks, he comes to a circle of Moorfowl. Moorfowl in Deutsch sind Sumpfhühner. It's some birds, you know. And he hears how the eldest amongst these birds speaks to the youngest. He says, the old bird says about God, he who holds the world in his beak, in seinem Schnabel, and he who made us strong or weak is an undying Moorfowl, ein unsterbliches Moorhuhn oder Sumpfhuhn. And he lives beyond the sky. The rains are dripping from his wings, and the moonbeams fall from his eyes. So he describes how the birds talk about God. But God is the biggest bird. He has a whole world in his beak. So then he goes a little further, and he hears how the lotus flowers talk about God. He who made the world rules it. And he puts the world on a stem. For I, the lotus flower, am made in his image. And all this tinkling tide is but a sliding drop of rain between his petals wide. It's ancient English. I translated for you. And all this, well, this I don't understand myself, tinkling time. But everything which we see is just a drop of rain between his petals, Blütenblätter. So he goes on and he sees different entities. He hears the peacock say, the God who made us all, is a big peacock. When he waves his tail, then all the stars shine with fire. What Yeats wants to say in this poem is that everyone makes a picture of God, an image of God, according to his conditioning, his eye, the way he looks, the way he is, basically. For the birds, he's a big bird. For the lotus flower, a big lotus flowers. For the peacock, he is a huge peacock. And for the human beings, he is a human being. So here in this verse, it says something which brings this idea much, 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 much further. It says, the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to his devotees. He engages in such pastimes as will attract those who hear about them to become dedicated to him. And Jiva Goswami explains that in this connection, he says, when Lord Krishna descends to this world, out of kindness, he manifests that form, his form, in a way that his devotees, who are conditioned in human society, can perceive and understand. I feel this is a very, very important point to keep in mind when we hear about the human-like pastimes of Lord Krishna. He acts like this so that he can attract us. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of his pastimes, he does something which we cannot understand with our human mind. Like, for instance, calling the gopis who are married out in the darkness of the forest for the rasa dance. Here's the Lord who spoke Dharma in the Bhagavad Gita, and he acts in a way that he meets unmarried women in the forest. I can't understand, says the moorhoon, says the moorfowl, says the conditioned human being. My dear devotees, when you deal with Krishna, he acts in a way that is attracting you. For that he acts in a way that you can understand the way you are now. But then, in order to bring you further, he acts in what is called achintya, inconceivable way. And at that time, do not doubt. Do not accept just when Krishna comes and steals butter. Oh yes, this is what children do. Nice. And then when you hear the next moment, he opens the mouth and shows the universe to his mother. Don't doubt this. Do not think when Krishna acts like the most moral person in the world, but then all of a sudden does things which you cannot understand with your Victorian moral, that this is no longer Krishna. You have to accept Krishna's pastimes in total. And one, if I would just only be able to meet Yeats. First of all, I don't know if he would receive such an insignificant person like me. But second of all, he doesn't live. I would say to Yeats, first of all, I would really like to ask, what did you want to express in the poem? Is it what I understand? And then he would most probably say, yes, I think it is very clear what he writes. I would say, this is the mercy of the Lord, that he makes himself available, that he comes in a way that everyone can be attracted, even the peacock or the moorhoon, or what is it called? Moorfowl. Krishna is very, very merciful. That is his special feature. That is what is celebrated by the Vaishnava philosophers as the greatest of his energy, his Kripa Shakti. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur takes this concept so far that he says the Lord appears in a fish form as Matsya to deliver all the living entities who are in the fish body. He appears in the Varaha form, the form of a wild boar, in order to give his mercy to this species. In this way, the Lord is at once appearing for everyone, and yet at the same time, totally inconceivable for our mind, transcendental beyond all the laws in which this world functions. I would like to talk about something which is also in the inconceivable realm. I want to talk about not one appearance of Krishna, but he appeared twice. I think Madhavananda will get to that. He will talk about a Leela most properly from the... we have discussed this, where he will talk about how Krishna is both the darling boy of the Brijbasis in that village of Vrindavan, and he appeared amongst them and was there, is always in Vrindavan, and at the same time, he's the prince of Dwaraka, the ruler. I want to also talk just very briefly about it without hopefully taking what Madhavananda wants to talk about. I want to say when Krishna appeared to his mother Devaki in Mathura, he came actually in a Vishnu form. And Madhavananda made a nice point. I liked that very much. He turned to all the ladies and reminded them, those who have given birth, the ladies who have children, do you remember your childbirth? Imagine you would have to give birth to a personality who is higher than 2 meters, who has a crown, a metal crown on his head, who has a, how do you say, a club and a disc. That is very, very, would be very, it would tear you into 1,000 pieces, you know. So Krishna did not appear like that. Krishna, in Mathura, when he appeared to Devaki and Vasudev, he came out as a full-grown Vishnu. He was smiling and reassuring his parents. They were in great fear. They were imprisoned by Kamsa. Krishna appeared in the prison in Mathura, and they were really worried. What will Kamsa do? I heard one commentary who said when Vasudev started to say his prayers, he was afraid that Kamsa would come any moment and that he should do very quickly his prayers. But the Lord assured him, no, there's enough time, don't worry. He's a small demon, you know, not very powerful, don't worry. He appeared from the mind of Vasudev and went into the heart of Devaki, and from there he made his appearance. But Krishna had already appeared before that, some say simultaneously, in Vrindavan as the son of Mother Yashoda. I want to read about this here. He had the face of a blue lotus flower. His eyes were like lily petals, and his beautiful small hands like the branches, the soft branches of a tamal tree. He was dressed in yellow cloth. When Mother Yashoda looked at her child, she was at first unable to call anybody to help. What to speak of moving? Her eyes, her throat, everything was covered with tears, and her body was stunned. But she felt restless because she wanted to care for her little child. And she asked in her mind, is this a huge sapphire? He has such a bluish glow around him. And he has the face of a, like that of the moon. And when he waves his hands and his little feet, he destroys the darkness. And then comes this verse. As the moon makes lotuses who are situated far away blossom, the child makes the mind of people who have affection for him blossom and appears in their hearts. So then Krishna cried. And do you know how his crying was? I asked this yesterday to the children, and one child knew. It was an om. I was just, Krishna made om. Om. That was his first sound when he came. Humorously, nice, charming, like this. So, drums sounded in the sky at that time. The devatas were hovering over Vrindavan and played their instruments, and they shouted, Jai Jai!
Jai Jai!
Yes. They felt so happy. Really, no one could know why are we feeling so happy. They had not seen Krishna as of yet. He was still in the house of Nanda Baba. Then came something which is a mystery. Mystery. Get ready for the mystery. The nurse was called, and when it came time to cut the umbilical cord, you know, that Nabelschnur, she could not find it. several times she said, "Amazing, amazing, I can't find." In all navels of babies we see cords, which are like stalks or stems without a lotus. In Krishna's navel there's no cord, there's only the lotus inside. Do you see a clear impression of the lotus? What an extraordinary child. Yeah. There's a shloka which I think some of us know. Let me try to chant it. Nama pankachanavaya, nama pankachamaline, nama pankachanetraya, namaste pankajangraye. I offer my respects to you, O Krishna, who has a lotus navel, who wears a lotus garland, who has lotus eyes and lotus feet. Krishna attracted everyone with his wonderful, wonderful qualities. It is described that one Brahmani was sent from the house of Yashoda, where she had given birth to Krishna, to Nanda Maharaj to inform him, "Your son is born in your old age." He was 95 years at that time. "Your son is born in your old age." And when Nanda Maharaj heard this, he was just so happy. He walked a few steps, but then he fainted with happiness. Then he walked a few steps and he fainted. When he finally came to where Krishna was, Rohini had put a veil between him and Krishna, a curtain. And Nanda Maharaj was, "Where is he? Where is he?" "Behind the curtain," said Rohini. And then finally, just like the pujari who opens, will open that curtain for us this evening, Rohini playfully opened the curtain and Nanda Maharaj saw his boy who was waving with his beautiful limbs at him and who smiled at him. Krishna's human-like pastimes as a baby are very, very attractive. I received a phone call yesterday from Vrindavan and how in Nandagram, where Krishna is, where is the house of his father and mother, how they celebrated. And they tell you this story. I thought I'd give you a little Braj Kahani. The Brajbasis one day had come to Nanda Maharaj and says, "You are 95 years old." And they spoke to Yashoda, "You are already 90 years old. What is the hope of you getting a child? There is only one thing you must do. Make a nice feast and feed all the Brajbasis. So then you will get the blessings of the inhabitants of Vrindavan and then a child will come." So Nanda Maharaj next day had a huge feast and his secretary went and he had made these big, big laddus. And Krishna, the secretary was giving each Brijbasi a big laddu, now you can see in Nandagram also, they have these very big laddus. They look like the head of a little child, so big. And the secretary was personally distributing them to everyone, this maha, huge laddu. And the Brijbasis who were there, these are the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're so pleased that they say, may you have a child like a laddu. And then Krishna Murari Goswami said, that's why we call Krishna Laddu Gopal. He has appeared because of the secretary giving the laddu. Ah, Laddu Gopal. You can see Krishna's human-like pastimes are still attracting the minds of his devotees everywhere. In a way they can understand. My dear devotees, I want to now come to you. In my first lecture or second lecture, I wanted to give an important message for you to take home. I wanted to speak about the need to make an emotional investment in your spiritual life. My point was that ultimately a person will do what he likes to do, where he finds the most amount of pleasure, where he finds the most amount of, here I can feel I am myself. No? This is the human condition. It is a fact of life. And if we cannot learn to invest our emotions and our entire being into Krishna, then it will be very difficult for us to give up the ropes of attachments which bind us to the world and which will force us to act according to only our material impulses, our material ideas, and so on. They will not allow us to rise, in other words. Our soul rises when our emotions are put into Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we hear, chant with sincerity. That's an emotion. Or we should be grateful. That's an emotion. We should be humble. That is a feeling, an emotion. We should be tolerant, forgiving. All these things are always said because we must invest our emotions in Krishna. I know most people are afraid of emotions and feelings because they are something they can't control. They are something which often raise from a place which they are not sure about. They cannot understand how an emotion came to them, but they feel they are so strong. Let us do away with emotions. But Krishna consciousness is something different. It is something where we fall in love with Krishna. It's something where we become attached. It's also an emotion, no? And attracted, also an emotion, to Krishna. It is very, very important to keep this in mind. But it is for a conditioned soul not so easy to come to this part of his personality, which are not under the control. You can't just say to someone, love this, or love that person, or I sometimes say to devotees, you need devotee friendships. Why don't you like so-and-so and make him your friend? And the devotee said, it doesn't work like this, Maharaj. This is a problem also with arranged marriages, and other such things. You can't tell your emotions what to do, it seems. So, because they come from a place which is not under your conscious control. This is what makes a sadhaka, makes it difficult. I think we all of us have this little difficulty that we have an actual self, the way how we are now, But then there is the ideal self, the self which we saw yesterday, Draupadi, how ideal she was, how she was able to end the circle of revenge by just forgiving Ashwatthama for having killed her five sons. And we felt for a moment, wow, this is an ideal I aspire also for. Or when yesterday the actors told something, how Mahabharata is relevant for today, and gave these wonderful instructions to us. Krishna said, don't try to control always your life. No, we felt also, oh yes, we should more surrender to Krishna's arrangements in our lives. No, it's an ideal which we aspire for. But when we deal with the daily life, when we have to forgive someone who was hurting us in some ways, or when we have to accept a situation which comes into our life totally unsought, then we cannot always act upon our ideal self, but we are troubled because of our actual state of consciousness. This is very nicely explained by Paul. What I would like to do, that I don't do. But what I do not like, that I do. Or I've looked up another writer whom I like very much, Victor Hugo. I hope I said it with a French thing. He said, I feel in myself there is a battle going on. I am myself the battleground for very, very ideal aspirations, that's on one side, but also my lower nature that is battling and fighting on the other side. I am the battleground for these two forces in me. Sometimes the higher man is victorious, and sometimes the lower man is victorious. Yes, are we not all like this? Like someone who wants to wake up to Krishna consciousness, who wants to be a loving, self-actualized person, who wants to be beneficial for others. And then we have other traits in us, other sides in us, which trouble us sometimes, and which we have not under our control. I think always of myself, I have this, I really wish to get up early. I know it's wonderful. I used to get up as in one phase of my life at 2:30 every morning. I chanted all my rounds before 5 o'clock. No, that's wrong. 2:30, then shower, 3 o'clock. Then I chanted most of my rounds before Mangal Aarti and the rest after Mangal Aarti. And I know what that in these early hours spiritual practice is so good. But now I'm a little weak, I'm a little older, and when I get up, when I wake up in the morning, it's 4 o'clock. I know by my rational mind, this would be a nice time to get up and then chant your rounds. No, Sachinandan Swami? Yes, 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 I said. But then comes the other. Oh, this is the best time for sleeping. My rest is best, and I have sweet dreams, and I'm so relaxed in the phase between 4 and 5 o'clock. Let me sleep a little bit more. And then I see how I'm overwhelmed by brother's sleep again, and then, oh, again 5 o'clock, again 6 o'clock. Oh, too late. You know. I know this. Do you know what I'm talking about? Good. You have remained a human being. Congratulations. So you know, there is this. Therefore, we are called divided people, but it's very important to stop this innere Zerrissenheit, this inner division which we experience, and see how we can at least bring the two close to each other, that they can talk nicely with each other and discuss nicely with each other. Usually it is seen insights help, experiences help to bring the two together. When you adjust your feelings by a higher taste, it helps. And when you develop new feelings and a new strengths to actually act. And my dear devotees, all this and more is available if you meet Krishna in his second form. There is not one Krishna. There are two Krishnas. Gets again very inconceivable. One is the Krishna which we are all aware of. He is on the altar. We hear about him. We discuss about him. The other form is a more hidden form of Krishna. Krishna in the form of his holy name. This form of Krishna has appeared to all of us. He is dressed in letters. He's dressed in a sound form. And very, very often, it is not possible for us to really see or accept this Krishna because he is so inconceivable. How will you understand with this mind that Krishna is identical with the holy name? All your experiences are contra against this. You never have become satiated by talking about pizzas. The name pizza is different from the substance. You can talk all day about pizza and get only more hungry. But here we hear that Krishna is identical with his holy name, and we accept it on faith. But if you are, and this is now my main point, if you are willing to chant the holy name with some faith that he is identical with Krishna, my dear devotees, wonders happen to you. The different sides of your personality are coming more and more together so that finally, at the end, you are one. You stop this being a divided soul. The chanting of the holy name, when it raises in our heart, takes away that which takes us away from Krishna. It takes away the inner darkness. It is the sun which raises in the heart to dispel the darkness of avidya, the darkness of ignorance. And all chanters who have committed themselves to this practice have seen this miracle happening. And I would like to call this miracle the ever-present Jamashtami, the ever-present appearance of Krishna in the heart of someone. How will Krishna appear in our hearts? What are your plans? You can't make him appear like that. But you can chant his holy name with some faith and some dedication, as much as you have at the present moment. And Krishna will see, will become attracted. Once Narada Muni asked Krishna this question, I've said this many times, "My Lord, where, how can we meet you?" And always. And the Lord said, "Listen, I'm not in the heart of the yogis who meditate about me, nor am I in the Vaikuntha worlds. But I come where my devotees chant my holy name, and there tatra, there tishtami, I stand, or I am, there, O Narada, I'm there. So if you want to develop your Krishna consciousness and want to make this Jamashtami an reoccurring, ever happening event in your life, I sincerely request you to dedicate yourself to this practice of chanting. I have seen this always. I have seen it in our community where we live in Neuruppin. Their devotees meet regularly each Wednesday, I think, for chanting. And I can see how the whole atmosphere in the community is changing. This may be one of the many reasons. There are many other reasons. I always have seen this when an individual or a community decides to take the chanting serious. Miracles happen. Concrete, visible changes happen because of Krishna's appearance in their hearts. Hare Krishna. I want to sing now something with you. A very, very nice prayer to Krishna. And then I will ask you for some questions. It's a poem about Krishna. His lips are sweet. His face is sweet. His eyes are sweet. His smile is sweet. His heart is sweet. His step is sweet. Everything is sweet about the original Lord of sweetness. So the last line is, we have to learn this by heart. Everything is sweet about the original Lord of sweetness. This is Madhuradipater Akilam Madhuram. Let's do this word by word. Madhuradi Pater Akilam Madhuram. Madhuradi Pater Akilam Madhuram. And now the whole thing. Madhuradi Pater Akilam Madhuram. Madhuradi Pater Akilam Madhuram.
Adaram madhuram, vadanam madhuram, nayanam madhuram, hasitam madhuram, hidayam madhuram, gamanam madhuram. Madhuradipate Akhilam Madhuram.
Bolo.
Madhuradipate. adipate akila madhura adipate akila madhura
madhura adipate akila madhura
vachanam madhura charitam madhuram vashanam madhuram valitam madhuram chalitam madhuram bramitam madhuram madhuradipate akhilam madhuram madhura nityam madhuram sakhyam madhuram madhura adipate akhilam madhura adipate akhilam madhuram gitam madhuram pitam madhuram guptam madhuram suptam madhuram rupam madhuram tilakam madhuram madhura adipate madhura shalilam madhuram kamala madhura madhura adipate akhilam madhura adipate akhilam madhura gopi madhura ishtam madhuram shistam madhuram madhura adipate akhilam madhuram madhura adipate akhilam madhuram gopa madhura madhura shristir madhura dalitam madhuram palitam madhura madhura adipate akhilam madhura madhura adipate Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Shri Radhe, Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Shri Radhe, Radhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
His deeds are sweet. His acts of deliverance are sweet. His stealing is sweet. His loving play is sweet. His yawning is sweet. And even his chastisements are sweet. Everything is sweet about the Lord of sweetness. Madhura dipate akilam maduram. Madhura
Haripate Akhilam Madhuram.
So, Hare Krishna. I would like to now see if any one of you have brought some questions with you. I will try to answer them to my best capability. Yes. We will have a microphone. Gadata, I saw. Then Gadara can speak like this. Yes, I'm very close.
You mentioned there's two sides.
Yes.
The split self, and that by chanting the holy name of Krishna, this could be, you said, unified. But what does it mean? What happens to the other side? It sounded like only one side remains.
Yeah.
The Krishna
side.
Side which is thinking for Krishna remains. So what happens to the other side? Does it just disappear? Or does it become a whole?
Wonderful, wonderful. Mm. Have you understood the question? I have thought very deeply about it because one of my best friends, which I ever had, one of them, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, left this world, but before he gave me this message, really, he said, Sachinandan Swami, in our hearts are two dogs fighting, which one will win? Then he gave the answer, the one whom you nourish will win. So I wondered, yes, and what is with the other dog? With the other side, will he be anesthetized or killed or what? Many years passed until I got a very satisfying answer for me. The other side will transform and will no longer be counterproductive to what you really wish, what the majority of you at least wishes. It will transform and become something else. And I remember. This is a very important question for myself because I have certain traits in me which are that of an adventurer, that of a person who appreciates literature and art and all the things where there is not much space in Krishna consciousness for this. But I have seen is that the dynamic force of this other side is helpful. It is good. We can use it if it goes in the right direction. And I remembered something which I've put in my seminar. It is a quotation from His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He says in one of his lectures, love and lust have actually something very much in similar. And then he went into, he said, those of you who know Sanskrit know the root of love is prem. And the root of lust, of that word, kama, is kam. And both kam and prem have an identical meaning. It means to desire something. And if you can, for instance, we all have, as human beings, we have this vitality, this lust, you can say. We wouldn't, that is born within each of the cell of our bodies. But if you transform it, it can become no longer a disturbance to you. Either you engage it in the grihastha ashram for the children, or if you are a celibate person, you engage that energy in caring for others and in helping others to grow and so on. That is Narottam's famous statement in Prem Bhakti Chandrika. I will engage my lust. I will engage my greed. I will engage all the six enemies except for enviousness. There is no place for enviousness in spiritual life. I will engage that. And then those things who have in the past been my undoing, they have finished me, they will help me. You can also engage your illusion in Krishna's service by thinking you will never reach Krishna. It's an illusion. But the moment you think, oh Krishna, I will never reach you. Oh Krishna, Krishna, you are so close all of a sudden. So transforming these things, making your what was previously maybe your enemy into your friend, that is very, very, very nice. And I heard a very nice story which is told in India about it. There was once a king who hated very much the neighboring king. This king, with the hate, was something like a Duryodhana. I think yesterday when we saw this Duryodhana, we were all shaking. Wow, is he heavy. He always wanted the other king's life, and he constantly did armed attacks on the neighboring kingdom. So much so, because he had a stronger army, that he killed many people in that neighboring kingdom. And the king in that neighboring kingdom decided, this is too much. This is too much. I'm risking the life of all my countrymen. I will disappear. And he took to a life of a sadhu and disappeared in the forest. He gave his crown away. The neighboring king did one more campaign and then conquered his kingdom and einverleibt is, you know. So this sadhu was now, this king who was like a sadhu lived in the forest. One day his a Brahmin came and cried to him and said, sadhu, please bless me. I need to marry my daughter. I have no money to do it. And because the king was so saintly and so unattached to this life and this body, he knew life is eternal, he said, well, I have no money, but you can get a lot of money. Do you want to know the tip? Yes, said the Brahmin. Well, you just go to the neighboring kingdom and you tell that you found me. Then you will get 100,000 gold coins because that is the price which this rascal king has put on my head. The Brahmin said, are you sure? He said, very sure. I am where I am in my life. I have no desire. I want to I cannot rule the country, I cannot serve my countrymen. For me, this life is lived. Said the Brahmana, if this is your desire, or if you have thought about it very deeply, then why don't we go together to the neighboring king? And then I can collect my prize immediately. The Brahmana had some second thought in his mind. So the Brahmana went with the saintly king to the rascal king of the neighboring country and said, here, I bring you your deadly enemy. I bring you, now give me your gold, the gold. The neighboring king said, what? How did you find him? He said to me, his life is my life now. He is such a good saintly king, said the Brahmana. You please see his greatness. So the rascal king, upon seeing the sacrifice and the good character of the other king, was conquered by the other king and became a very great supporter of the king. They ruled the countries not exactly together, each one got their kingdom, but there was peace and a lot of support from the richer and more powerful neighboring king. So I always feel like this, as we are nourishing our spiritual side, that other side in us will see the wisdom of spiritual life, the good quality, and will transform and become our friend. It will be still there, vital. You will still, that side in you, the brilliant genius thinker, will still be there. Adventurous, humorous man will still be there, but it will be one with a spiritual side in you, and because it will be transformed from an uncooperative person to a very cooperative person. It will. That's my answer to the question, and that's honestly, what I see happening in my life. I'm not yet there where I wish to be in my Krishna consciousness, but I do see this change is working. I have remained the same person. I'm still a little bit this and that and the other way, but this conditioned nature has become my friend. I want to finish this answer because it's an important point, I think. I saw this when I was once in Zagreb. We had a concert, Gauranga Bhajan group, means Hare Krishna chanting for a few, for an hour, and then bhajans, Bharatanatyam dance, a film about Krishna consciousness, and so on. And in the end, we had kirtan with the people. I remember this kirtan was really dynamic and live, and I thought, okay, I like to dance, I like to be a little bit, so let me dance. And at the end of the program, the next morning, I found an article about the program. It said two things. It was a hall of happiness, and also we met the Mick Jagger of the spiritual scene. Mick Jagger is, for those you do not know, he is a singer in a famous music group, now very old, and so on. I used to be the fan of Mick Jagger. Now I was there, and I was, at first I was very pleased with myself. Oh, finally they recognize my qualities. But then I noticed that it's not good to be to be so outstanding and so out front and to draw attention to your own person is not good for spiritual life. In other words, it was purified, that desire, more and more. I hope more and more. As I said, I'm not yet a pure soul. So I see the transformation is working. I see it objectively. It's in the newspaper, even. and that is a little bit my answer to your question.
Thank you.
Hari Dham Prabhu.
You've spoken quite often over the last 2 days about emotions and the division of the self into two parts. And I'd like to add to Gadadhar's question and response that for these two barking dogs to make peace with one another, at the root of that is a quality of emotion, and that is called forgiveness. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami writes very eloquently about the 12 steps to forgiveness, if you would like me to share.
Yes, very much, very much. Hari Dham, before you, forgiveness of the, who forgives whom?
It will become clear at the end of the 12 steps.
Good.
Because forgiveness, in actual fact, starts with the self. And we can't forgive others unless we forgive ourselves. And he talks about step number one is to clarify your need to forgiveness. And then he says in step number two that you must recognize... I don't think I need a microphone. Do I need a microphone? Yeah. You then need to recognize your anger. In step number three, he says that you must uproot your bitterness. And we heard yesterday that Nelson Mandela said that I will remain in prison even if I walk towards my freedom if I don't give up my bitterness. Number four, assertiveness helps you to forgive. You need to be assertive about your forgiveness. Number five, releasing excessive victim consciousness. Some people like to remain the victim of their circumstances because that gives them validity in life. Number six, to refrain from myopic judgments.
Myopic? Myopic?
He explains myopic to be, we have to refrain from coming to narrow conclusions and step back from the problem. By being too close, we cannot analyze and see how to resolve it. Number seven, that we need to manage our grief. Because during our lifetime, we have loss. And loss is not only associated with someone that's died, but loss is the loss of a relationship, loss of your status, loss of your reputation. So you must manage your grief. In eight, we need to confront with effective communication. And often we refer to communication as being empathic listening. We need to step into the shoes of those people who have caused us harm and see why they did so. Number nine is to release control, because we are not the controllers. Number 10, and a very important one for us, is defining your mission as a sadhu. And number 11, embracing your humility in this process. And number 12, then becoming an empowered agent. So forgiveness is for me at the root of bringing these two barking dogs together.
Thank you. Very, very nice, yes. Thank you. I want to have these 12 steps. I can give you my email and then you can send it.
I'll send it to you.
Good.
Hare
Krishna. Good. Any other questions? Thank you. Any other questions? Here's Mandaleshwari.
Stages, many of them talks about the one specific stage that is called the dark night of the soul. And as we know that everything is in the divine order. So I'm very curious about this stage and if you can talk about this.
A dark night of the soul. We call this in our simple English, tests, Krishna's tests, or sometimes Krishna's heavy tests. In this song which we were hearing, Krishna is glorified, and it is said, even your chastisements are sweet. How do we understand this when the Lord sends us through tests? How is that sweet? Or when the Lord is not present and we even lose our purpose, how is that sweet? Well, there are different ways this can be explained, but I would like to say I have always noted that you can utilize these times when you are in doubt and so on, and solve what is the situation there, what are the causes there. Your bitterness can make you, when you go through it and you don't run away from it, like I have seen communities, Vaishnav communities do this and ignore questions and doubts, and just then they will be overwhelmed in the future by them. They will come back, they cannot be ignored. But if you face this, face the problem, you will usually, when you are in Krishna consciousness, come out of it with a new, let me say, insight. Those who have been bitter and have been able to face their bitterness and clarify the bitterness, they usually become very convinced devotees who can understand others and answer other questions in a very nice way. Those who have been hurt and who have been able to forgive, to face this, first of all, I feel, they can forgive others also. In this way, these tests or dark nights can serve us. I learned this in my life. You know, the best blood purifying tea which you can get out of nature is from the stinging nettles. You go to the stinging nettles and you cut them just where the leaf comes to the stem and put them together and then boil a nice tea, and it gets all the toxins out of your system. I remember when I was a little boy, we had a garden which was really wild. And in the month of August, end of August, there was one apple tree. In German we call him the Augustapfel. In English it's the Lexington apple. It's golden colored, is look yellow or golden, and they taste so good. Wow! So as a little boy, I was always dressed in short pants, because I used to tear all my pants. They were made of leather because I was always coming each day home with pants which were torn. I was very much liking climbing on trees and so on. So I got, as a boy, these leather pants up till here, and as a young boy up till here, so that I would not always tear my pants. So when I had these short things, I was so greedy after these Lexton apples that I ran through the garden to get them, and in order to get them, I had to pass through this little colony of stinging nettles, Brennnesseln in Deutsch. And they burned my skin so much. And I remember one day I was just so angry at them, I took a stick and destroyed the whole colony of stingle nettles. Look here. And so on. Now I have to ask myself, as a grown-up people, a grown-up man, there are no problems with stinging nettles any longer for me. But there are computer problems. Not for me, by the way. I have no. There are time problems. I can't do everything what I want to do. There are problems with people who do not like me and who are angry at me. And there are problems with the body. Do I still want to retaliate? Do I still want to take the stick and go against the stinging nettles? No. I have learned. I take the stinging nettles and I make a tease. By the way, this is one of the teas. It has this color, brown color. It's really good for the blood. It relieves you from headache and all the symptoms and so on. So these stinging people or stinging circumstances, or as you say, dark nights or tests, can purify you and help you to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, which is the greatest disease which we have. The greatest problem which we have is that we turn always away from Krishna. We think we can master our life without Krishna. We are very confident, marching alone in pride. That is the greatest disease, the greatest problem. When you get tests, you understand, I can't solve this on my own. I must now run to Krishna. The stinging nettles have become a nice blood-purifying tea for you. The problems are helping you now to get the disease out of the blood. Hare Krishna. Stinging nettle tea. Don't forget. This is very good. I had yesterday so much problem. I was just, my head was splitting in 50 pieces. And I drank the whole day nettle tea. Now I'm all right. Very good now. I can dance. I can do everything. Hare Krishna. Don't retaliate against the circumstances which bite you, but understand the mission which they have for you. That is to, first you need to acknowledge them, you need to go through them, turn to Krishna, and blood is purified. Hare Krishna. Madan Mohan.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for your inspirations on the festival and today. I always see the same procedure. I come to a festival, I'm inspired, I take a lot of inspirations with me. It lasts for a week, two, three, but at one point it diminishes. And I really wrote down one point specifically, like dedicate yourself to the chanting. Do you have something like, I know you spoke a lot about chanting, and you write a lot about it, but do you have something which keeps the spirit of
yes.
alive?
First of all, this is a very known thing. Do you all know this? You come to a festival, wow, you are so inspired, and after 1 week, you are half inspired. Then everything goes. What can we do? Madame Mohan and everyone, we in our Sharanagati team have to think about this, because we give one holy name retreat after the other, one after the other, and devotees write to us at the end of the holy name retreat, I made a breakthrough experience, now I really know what is the chanting, and I have made a blissful experience, etc. Then you see them at the next retreat, and I thought, I thought you don't need a retreat any longer. You are so inspired. And Maharaj, 3 weeks it lasted. This was my highest. I need again to go to the garage, the Japa garage. You know, you hear this again and again, and then you need to think as a responsible seminar giver, how can you stop this? How can you empower your audience that they can be inspired for a longer time? And I made some study about the psychology of change. When can you really change a habit? And I did studies in the secular field, and then brought it into a Krishna conscious. I mean, I don't want to say Krishna conscious. A format which I think will work for devotees. I tried it first for a year, and it really works. Not always 100%, but at least 80%, and that is already good enough. For starters, this is how it works. First of all, Madan Mohan, identify what do you want to change. Apparently, you have identified it. It's you want to do your sadhana of chanting with more dedication. So, then ask yourself, what is happening if I don't do this? Confront the risk which you undergo if you don't change. How will my life be? How will my relationships look? Will I be strong inside to realize all the programs which I have to do? What will happen if I don't discipline myself into chanting? This is the next thing. Then, form what is called a sankalpa in Sanskrit, an intention. Okay, I will chant one round a day, which is good. I want to address the Japa criminals amongst us. One round where I really give my best. In other words, do something which is doable for you. Sankalpas, which are too idealistic and don't take into account your present situations, are absolutely useless. They are a waste of time. Something doable. Then stay with this doable step. Chant all your 16 rounds, but I'm speaking of one good round. Maybe I should speak of one good mantra. Maybe speak of one good name, maybe. The Hare Krishnas and their chanting is what it is. So, then, my dear devotees, do something which is doable. The moment you do something which is doable for you, something kicks into you, some strength, which in our simple language we call enthusiasm. In psychological language is called self-efficiency. You gather some strengths in you which will help you. Oh yes, I can do it. Wow, I'm not as weak as I thought. I can actually do it. I can change my life. It works. Wow, I can't believe it. I'm now, maybe I should get a new name. I'm so different now. Madan Mohan, the jewel, maybe. In other words, you develop some joy, some enthusiasm in your life, some utsahan, which is based on the shraddha that you can do it, or a psychological term, look it up in the Wikipedia, self-efficiency. Then you know what happens with the mind, you know, in a more clearer, in a more, maybe if you are like this, you can see. Then you can actually experience a better transformation. And then you can go to 2 good rounds, 3 good rounds, 4 good rounds, and so on. So, first confront the situation, how it is. Then, what is the risk if you keep on going like this? Then form an intention which comes from deep inside. I will do such and such. But small step, not like we all do. Oh, after this festival, I will be a pure devotee. No problem. Not like that. And then comes the next stage. Yeah, they are very close to each other. You become, you see some result, something will change, and that will bring up the self-efficiency. And then you have your transformation. That is workable. And once again, do something which is doable. If you do too much, the opposite will happen, that is disappointment in yourself. It doesn't work with me. I'm useless. And then all this negative propaganda which every one of us has already. I'm not good enough. I'm useless. I'm sinful. I'm this. I'm that. You know, this constant thing will start again. And we don't need this any longer. Hare Krishna. Good. So, last question. Ekanti. Last question. I will be a little fast now.
Krishna's way.
Ah, yeah, very good question, I think, for you. First of all, in these big decisions, sometimes you have to be patient until it is clear to you. Sometimes it's not yet the time for these big decisions. I also know what the big decision is you have in mind. I cannot comment on that, but I'm just saying sometimes you need to be patient. And then the other thing is go to different devotees, talk with them, and get not just one devotee, get different perspectives which you could maybe not see. But when you hear them, they say, oh, this makes a lot of sense. Oh, thank you. So get a little bit more information. And then usually after you have talked with many devotees and looked at the time, what I have found out, something will become clear. But act with a big decision which you cannot turn around, you know. only after some time. I know this. Sometimes devotees come to me, should I stay a brahmachari or should I marry? And I say, first of all, this is you need to understand this. You will have to, the conclusion or answer to this question will have to come from yourself. And for that to come, you need to just hear different perspectives. I can give you two perspectives. One is for marriage, one is against marriage. You know, but I'm giving only this. Then ask other people, read in the scriptures, pray, and then it comes. It comes. You know much more than you think you know. And once it comes out, it will, the voice will come. It always comes, and it's always right. But it may need some time. When it's such a big decision. Yes. Hare Krishna. I want to thank all of you for your attention. I will request Gaurahari to now give us an orientation over the day. Please describe to us the highlights of what we have prepared. I liked yesterday the song which we sang. It says, "My Lord, we have gathered all the ingredients for this festival together. Now we need the blessings of the merciful Vaishnavas to look on it and so that everything becomes a success." So what are the ingredients? What is going on? Please tell us.
Shri Krishna Janmastami Moksava Ki.